Welcome to the Valhalla Parish Sermon Podcast, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of several First Nations where the Kootenai and Columbia Rivers meet.
Glory to God, glory to God in the high.
In those days before the flood, when Noah heard the voice of God, the voice that told him of new beginnings that would follow cataclysmic endings, he took hammer in hand and started to build the cradle that would bring his family to safety. Hammer in hand, with sweat-soaked brow, he worked while his neighbors mocked and chided, heading off to the latest gathering despite the imminent danger no one wanted to recognize. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, feasting to their heart's content, partying like it was the end of the world. And I can imagine Noah in the falling dark singing himself to sleep, having just put out his lamp. Shadows are fallen. I've been here all day. It's too hot to sleep and time is running away. Feels like my soul has turned into steel. Still got the scars that the sun didn't heal. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Do you ever feel that way? It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Even in this time of year with the sun going down 3:30 or 4, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Shadows are falling, and fall they do, shrouding the world, shrouding our lives, at times shrouding our faith in shadow. And yet here we find Noah, hammer in hand, wood, rope, nails, building that ark piece by piece, section by section, not a cloud in the sky, with faith, hope, love on his mind. Moved by incredible faith and incredible sense that God has called him to build something that will bring hope, that will bring salvation. Noah lives his life, breathes every breath in a way that makes sense to no one around, because he knows, deep in his soul, he knows how he is called to live. Because he knows and feels in his soul the weight of that decision. Without the weight, without the scars, without the shroud, how could he know? All the while, his friends and neighbors have given themselves to the moment, have given themselves to the celebration, have given themselves to the party, have given themselves to Michael Bublé's Christmas album when it's still Advent, not Christmas, for God's sake. The time for Bublé has not yet arrived. The time for Bublé will come. But what we need right now is Bob Dylan. And you'll have to forgive me for transporting Bob back in time to the days of Noah, the days of waiting for the Son of Man. But these days, it's the prophets, the poets, the folk musicians who have my heart. Not the pop stars, even though I may have been caught making a Taylor Swift reference to another dad on the playground last week. How could I not? But these poets and prophets have a way of accessing the stark reality of the moment into which God is being born. The muck and filth of real life, division and polarization, the sickness and pain, the loneliness and sorrow that creeps up, sometimes overtakes us. In the midst of it all, it's not the sparkle of the season that I rail against every year. It's that the sparkle doesn't have enough darkness to shine. Last week, we talked about how all too often we miss the mystery of the great feasts of Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. Because we aren't able to wait. We aren't able to dwell in the mystery. We aren't able to pay attention, to live in the tension of a world that's been promised, that's not yet arrived. And that's what Advent does. And this week, listening to a rendition of Bob Dylan's Not Dark Yet, a song written for 1997's album Time Out of Mind, an album that comes after he's moved through his born-again Christian phase. Well, Bob Dylan's the prophet that could take me there. Bob sings, "My sense of humanity has gone down the drain. Behind every beautiful thing, there's some kind of pain. She wrote me a letter and she wrote it so kind. she put down in writing what was in her mind. I just don't see why I should even care. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. We can imagine how for Noah, as for the Son of Man in Matthew's apocalyptic gospel, this sense of humanity going down the drain. We can imagine, but it often feels like we don't need to. We don't need to imagine what we can see before us, what we can sense in our hearts, humanity's decaying ability to care for one another, to make space for one another, to make space for difference, to make space rather than to shunt people to the margins, to make space, but also to go out of our way to extend God's loving embrace. And this Advent here in Valhalla Parish, we're asking the question over and over. We're asking the question, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting to happen, perhaps? But also Noah's question, the question that gets him up every day in the face of opposition, the question that gets him up every day in the face of indifference and mockery. What are we waiting for? He asks. And then he gets moving. The people around him can't see it, can't hear it, don't have any sense of what's coming. They're so stuck in the here and now, in the parties, yes, but also the imminent realities of daily life that they seem to have no imagination, no sense that there is one who speaks from beyond the moment, calling us to return our attention, to turn our minds, to turn our efforts to something else. As Noah works day by day, he stays awake to the mysteries of the world, to the mysterious reality of God's presence, to the way in which the God who is God and not some mere figment of his imagination calls him, calls us into faithful work. He puts his hand to the hammer, his hands to the plane, and he fashions a structure that will preserve him and so many more. In Advent, the temptation, I think, is to sit back, to wait for God to do all the work, for God to show up. But like Noah, like parents waiting for a baby to be born, there is work to be done. To prepare the home, to prepare the room, even though we can never fully prepare our soon-to-be bursting hearts for the arrival of a child. Even though we can never fully prepare for the sleepless nights, the dirty floors, the endless diapers, the sheer frustration as we figure out how to welcome this boundless life into our midst. All of which is to say that waiting on the Lord is not so clean and clear as the carols say. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes? Hardly. Lest you think me a pessimist, let me say this. Hope, my friends, is not naive optimism. Hope is hard fought. It's hard won. Hope has traveled through the darkness and still looks for the light. Hope knows that the beauty of God's promised future, while it is coming, often emerges from some kind of pain. The birth of a baby, the nail of the cross, the transformation of the world that we have known into a world that is becoming, a world that will be. To enter fully into the mystery of this season, we have to consider the darkness so that we can appreciate the brightness of the light, which is somewhat different, I think, than the consumptive promise of Black Friday. Bob Dylan sings, "Been to London and I've been to Gay Paris. I've followed the river and I got out to the sea. I've been down on the bottom of the world full of lies. I ain't looking for nothing in anyone's eyes. Sometimes my burden is more than I can bear. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there." The poets and the prophets know about all of our facades. The facades of our cities, the ones we put up to tell folks that everything is fine. And what the prophets and poets remind us, rather inconveniently, I might add, is that it's in the alleys and in love we find the truth. They remind us of the danger of going alone, that these burdens are more than any one of us can bear on our own. And so we turn to one another. In letters, in commiseration, in words on the phone, in shared cups of tea, in shared work, in hugs, in tears. so that even when we walk in the darkness, we can lean on one another to stay awake, to keep awake to the work that God is doing, yes, but also to keep awake that we might participate in that work too. I wonder what it might look like to be ready this season. I wonder what we might do as a community to bear witness, to embody, to live our hope out loud. I wonder what we might do to keep the light shining in the darkness, to invite others to gather round the warmth, to invite others to gather round the light, and to prepare ourselves, and to prepare our community, and to prepare our world for the light, that while it seems dim in this moment, will one day soon shine all the more brightly and light our way home. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.
Shadows are falling. I've been here all day. It's too hot to sleep. Time is running away. Feel like my soul has turned to sea. Still got the scars of the sun to let me heal. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet. My sense of humanity is going down the drain. Behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain. She wrote me a letter, and she wrote it so kind. She put it down and write what was in her mind. Against my will, I know it looks like I'm moving, but I'm standing still. Every nerve in my body is so naked and numb. I can't even remember what it was I came here to get away from. Don't even hear the murmur of a prayer. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.